Hello, and welcome to the family at World Harvest Outreach.
I feel like I have a 20-minute message in me, so I'm not going to make you go over time. This is going to be good. What so impresses me, maybe this is my impression. I didn't ask you this, so I'm just going to put it on you. What so impresses me about what you're doing and where I think it comes from is that Sergey has experienced the love of God so much in his life that now he's compelled to prove to God that he loves him so much.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Like when you experience the love of God in the way that we, and look, I hate to say this to you, if you live in America, you've experienced the love of God in a way, like just living here. Just being able to walk down the street and like, there's no like sign of that, right? But if you've experienced the love of God in such a way that we have, we should be so compelled to show him how much we love him through our interactions with people. How I receive a person, how I interact in their life, how I honor them, how I talk to them. This is my proof. I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing for us to believe and to think, I owe God a proof that I love him.
Yeah.
And if you're like a son, you know you're an heir, like you're an heir of this thing, and I have to prove it. I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think for a while in the United States, we've gone into this thing where it's like, you don't ever have to show or prove to God he loves you exactly the way you are. And if you never did anything again, he loves you. And we've kind of taken that on and we've gotten a little bit lazy. I'm like, no, he loves me just like this. I am enough. Right?
Yeah.
I am enough. And God's like, yeah, you are enough, but could you do just like one thing?
Could you do just like,
I don't think it's a bad thing. I love that. I love that you're compelled, right? He's not going around, I have to show you that I love you. He's like, no, I have to show God that I love him so much that you're going to get all this benefit because I love you,
yeah.
Lord.
Yeah.
We could use a little of that. We could use a little of that. Okay. So, have you ever been sitting around watching TV and you see a prescription drug commercial, right? Aren't they amazing? Like, don't you want to live that life? Are you like, wow, look at that. Like, pottery classes and hiking up mountains, right? And like, aren't they amazing, right? And you're like, wow, that diabetes doesn't look that bad. Like, why? I wish I had me some Plaxovis, and the names are insane, right? They're always like some crazy thing. But you're looking at it and you're like, geez, I want to go horseback riding. And look, this old couple, the fire is ignited again, and they're in a tub on a mountain overlooking like Norway or whatever. It's like beautiful, right? It's like the most amazing thing. And you're like, geez, I want to do that, right?
Yeah.
And then, like on the side, there comes a voice like, and it tells you, some people who have taken this drug have experienced diarrhea and sweatiness at just really bad times. And then the last line is always what?
Death.
And sometimes death. Like, or you're like, but you're so like, you're so enraptured with the, you know, pottery class, that just go take a pottery class, for the good Lord's sake, right? But you're so enraptured with the life that they're showing you, right? That you're like, I never heard the sometimes death part, right? Because like, I feel like we treat Jesus that way.
Yeah.
I feel like that's how we market Jesus in the Christian church, where we're like, hey, this is gonna be amazing. You're gonna meet Jesus and you're gonna have prosperity and you're gonna have abundance and everything's gonna be healed and everything's gonna be all right and you're gonna feel this and you're gonna feel all good and sometimes you're gonna be convicted. Ooh, that was a downer. And sometimes death. And we don't like to deal with that in the, like, we don't like to deal with that in the United States church, but go to blank country and they'll be like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. One of the side effects of this Christianity thing is sometimes. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Jesus said it should always lead to. It's not a side effect. Like, there should be some death that occurs in us because we have stepped into this thing that is following Christ, where things are dying, and because things are dying, you are living. Okay? But we don't like the side effects. We don't like the side effects so much that many times when we experience a side effect, we go back to the doctor and be like, this isn't working. Get me on something else. I ran this by a medical professional, so I know that this is right, okay? If you take a drug and you experience a side effect, it does not mean that it is not doing the thing that it is intended to do. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
So, if you are walking in Christ and you want to experience abundance and prosperity and this, well, you're going to have to go through some conviction. You're going to have to go through some death. But what happens a lot of times is we're like, I don't like that, so get me a new one. Get me a new something. Could you get me a new Jesus, a different Jesus? A Jesus that doesn't make me feel conviction ever. Or maybe a Jesus that doesn't point out, like, hey, you know what? This is where, you know, things are going. But if you were just sticking a little bit longer, right? And you would see, oh, okay, you know what? I needed to go through that thing. I needed to feel that conviction there in order to get, like, my body needed to, like, you know, get used to it so I can get past that and into where he wants me to be prosperous. Yeah. You hearing me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad you're a children's pastor because I have like this verse. I have 15 minutes, but I want to go to Luke 17 because there's times where Jesus, like, look, I want to point out something that like in the like kind of zeitgeist of the United States, but I like the marketing of Jesus recently. Like, I'm like, It wasn't all like washing feet 24/7. Like, it wasn't all that. Like, it wasn't all like, come here, you know, I love you. There was times where Jesus was like, yo. Can you fill in the blank? He was like, and there's sometimes where I'm like, Jesus loved his disciples so much that he was like, I need to be alone. Get that? If you're a parent, you get that. You get that. You ever love your child so much that you're like, get away from me. I love you this much that you need to be here and I'm going to be here. You get it. You get it. I think you understand. Okay. So Jesus said some things that sometimes when you're reading the Bible, you're like, oh, not my Jesus. And Jesus is like, no, this is like Jesus. I'm about to say this thing and it's going to hit pretty hard. So I want to read in Luke 17. I'm going to just read it with you. I'm going to point out some things that I think are important for us to realize we need to go through in order to get to the place where we need to go. So he said to his disciples, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks will come. So what's going to come? Stumbling blocks. All the things that you don't want to have to deal with, Jesus is saying right here, guess what's going to come? Stumbling blocks. So, you know, all those side effects, Jesus said, yeah, you're going to get them. Not all happiness and rainbows. Okay. So it would be, but woe to him through whom they come. Whoa, that feels very like forward from Jesus. I thought he was only like, I love you and you're great and you're enough. But Jesus here himself says, hey, if stumbling blocks become, it better not come through you. It better not come through you. Woe to him. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Whoa! Better for me to have a millstone. Did you ever think about this verse and think, wow, what would be worse than that? And I have the answer for you. You don't want to know. That's the answer. I don't know how that happens. I don't know how it. All I know is if Jesus said, woe to you if you are a stumbling block for one of these little ones, it would be better for you than this. I don't want to know. So what I'm going to do is make sure I'm what? Not a stumbling block for these little ones. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I've done in my Christian walk with this passage, all right, that's kind of excused me from doing anything, you know, like, or for really operating in it. I have always said, oh, we're talking about children here. I would never be a stumbling block to children, so I don't have to really worry about this verse. But we need some context, right? We need some context. And we find context in Matthew 18, okay? So let's go to Matthew 18. Oh, no, I had a thing that... Okay, here it is. Okay. And everybody knows this story. We're going to be good. At this time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Everybody knows this story? Everybody knows what happens next? Okay. And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Okay, this is pretty heavy. Right? Jesus is like, he's putting real stakes on this thing. And now I need to reconsider who are the little ones he's talking about. Because what happens in this situation is Jesus takes a child and brings the child to himself and says, look at this child. The child is a representation of who? You. The child is a representation of every single one who chooses to be childlike. So when he says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, the little ones he's talking about is not relegated to a bunch of kids that are running around in our kids' class over there. It's actually talking about every single one of us who has chosen to enter into a childlike nature. The child was just a picture. Obviously, it includes those children. Obviously, that's why he used the children as the picture, but it includes you. Your birthday was yesterday. Do you feel like a child? I don't always feel like a child. Like, I kind of feel old. Look, I use these to read now. Just to read. Like. But what brings me hope is that I get to be included into this. I am not excluded from here because I choose to take a childlike position. Now, there's something that we need to understand. And this is going to be like my only point. I'm not going to go through the whole like chapter. I was impressed over the last couple days that for all of you that have chosen to enter into the childlike position, that I must honor that in a way like I would honor a child. Like you know how we want to maintain the innocence of children? right? Like if my son is walking down the street and there's something over there that I don't want him to see, what do I do? What do I do? I distract him? Okay. I legit put my hand over his eyes and I turn him the other way. Okay? That's what, because he's five. Okay? So I turn him the other way. And I protect him in a way that would prevent him from experiencing that thing that would what? Take his innocence away. Now, I should have that same heart for you and your innocence. I should have the same heart. So much to the point that I should never be your stumbling block. Ever. See, maturity is understanding that, you know what? There's nothing that's kept from me, but not everything is profitable for me. But a higher level of maturity is to understand where my brother may need support. And then humbling myself. Look, okay, I'll give you a perfect example. We had this argument all the time in churches. Like, is it permissible to drink? Well, it may be permissible for you to drink. It may not be permissible for me to drink. Okay? I only come to that understanding by being in communion with God and understanding what's permissible for me. It may not be permissible. So I go ahead, I live my life, it's permissible for me to drink. I have a drink every once in a while, I don't get drunk. I understand that my brother, I keep on pointing this argument, it's because you're here.
I haven't seen you.
So I understand that, hey, you know what? In his life, in his communion with God, it's not permissible for him to drink. So what do? I protect you. And I don't flaunt my freedom to you because it may be a stumbling block to you. This is the level of care and honor that we should have for each other's childlike state in the Lord. That's the maturity. I am so mature that I can limit my freedom in order for you to experience your freedom. I can limit it. This is me proving to God that I love him. Because I had the conversation when I was like, yeah, you know what? You're not fine. You don't struggle with this thing. It's not something that's going to bother you. It's not going to be a stumbling block for you. But you know what, Lord? I love you so much that I don't ever want to be a stumbling block to my brother. So I will put this thing aside because it's not worth that. It's not worth who he is.
Yeah.
Ever. Ever. And I love this idea that now I, because he's using the child as a simile, right? Like?
Metaphor?
I thought simile was the liker, Ed. Right? I'm right. Don't correct me while I'm up here in front of everybody. In front of my friends. No, because he used the child as a picture, I get to honor you in that way. Or I'm charged to honor you in that way. I'm charged to honor your childlike submission to the Lord. And that is maturity. And then, 5 minutes, I'm gonna bless you. 5 minutes includes blessing you. I love that the next portion of the chapters in Luke say, hey, if your brother were to sin against you, what are you supposed to do? Do you know? Do you remember this? Huh? What are you supposed to do? Say it out loud. Go ahead. You're supposed to forgive him. Ha! That's not what you're supposed to do first. If you read it in Luke, what are you supposed to do first? You're supposed to rebuke him. Oh, clutch pearls. I'm supposed to rebuke my brother? That's what Jesus said. I didn't tell you. Jesus said, you're supposed to rebuke him, which is just a nice way of saying, or maybe a harsh way of saying, you have to have the conversation. We sit here and like, rebuke. Oh my God, rebuke. I'm sending it. No. You have to say, you have to name the things that are wrong as wrong. You have to. And too many of us, we never named the thing that was wrong as wrong. And now we're sitting around, we pretended like we forgive him, but we never named the thing that was wrong. So you just kind of like forgave, like this forgave thing. We've talked about this like at the end of last year. We're kind of like, shh. But then he says, if they continue, you forgive them again. And if they would do it seven times, what are you supposed to do? Okay. So, and we've said this before, it's beautiful that he uses the number seven, because what is seven? It's the number of perfection. So what Jesus is telling you is that you forgive your brother until perfection. Seven times. He says seven times. It's not one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. I have been I don't no longer have to forgive you. We hit the limit, right? So, no. Jesus is like, I forgive you to completion. I forgive you to completion. And then it's going to come back and you're mature and you're like, you know what? I'm going to forgive you to completion. I'm going to forgive you. And it's hard in the face of it. It's hard when it's happening. It's hard, but he says it right there. These are the hard stuff. These are the may cause diarrhea that we're all like, oh, I don't want to have to deal with that.
Diarrhea.
Stand with me. I hope you're hearing what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I think in the era that we're in now, or the season, we'll use the season, I think it would be awesome if we were so desperate to prove to God that we loved him, that we treated every single individual as his child.
Yeah.
Honor them as he was presenting them to you himself. Could you imagine that the next interaction that you have with a person, you would see behind the scenes and you would see Jesus bringing them to you and say, this is my son. How are you going to interact with him? And then whatever this facade is just a facade. I get to say, wow, I am dealing with a child of God. How will I honor Jesus, who's presenting his child to me? Jesus himself. So, pretend like you like this.
Okay.
Thank you. It really helps with the whole marketing thing. Okay. Father, I pray over this family. You don't usually hear this in church, so I'm going to pray it like, and you'll understand from the context. I pray that we're so desperate to show you that we love you, that the world experiences a crazy love. A crazy love. And I pray that our source is continually, Father, I love you. Father, I love you. Father, I love you. That everyone who's presented to me will experience my love for the Father and not necessarily my perception of this person. I pray that we can see in the Spirit this deeply. That we can see Jesus presenting his family to us. Jesus presenting his children. Jesus showing off his kids, and we get to partake in that. Because every single one of you, every single one of you has chosen that, has chosen. I choose the position of childlike. So may I never be a stumbling block to this one who has chosen the position of childlike. We honor that. We honor it. And Father, for these ones here in this family, I pray that we actually have the strength, you have it, the grain of a mustard seed, to go through the quote unquote side effects to actually hit the intended cause. Your prosperity is not a bank account number. Your prosperity is a full understanding and knowing of who the Father is and who Jesus is. That's your prosperity. So, Father, I pray in this week we are more prosperous than ever because we see you in all things. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. All right. Last thing I want, Mark said it, please. There's still work being done in Ukraine. There's going to be work for a long time. So you go to the WHO website or through the app and you can contribute. All right. I know your tax returns are coming. I get it. Like, you know, throw it over there. All right. It's a good time. We thank you. Have a great week. Love you.
World Harvest Outreach is located in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, but we have family around the world. To connect with us, visit us at whocenterpa.com.